Back here on 3D on this Wednesday morning, Darren McFarland and Willie Donica with you. Next hour, former Titans cornerback Samari Roll will join us. We had Rocky Boyman on yesterday. Really good conversation with him. Of course, he was on that 03 team, 03 season in January of 04 when they went up to Foxborough, and it was negative 10 with the wind chill. Also, Samari Roll was on that team, so we'll kind of revisit what that experience was like when the Titans fell to the Patriots by a field goal. And so we'll get into all that and more with Samari Roll next hour. Right now, he's the Patriots play-by-play man. Bob Soucy is on the line with us. Bob, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well, Darren. Good morning to you. And thankfully, the divisional round of playoffs falls on this Saturday as opposed to last Saturday. Otherwise, we'd truly have deja vu with a sub-zero wind chill for Saturday night encounter of these two teams.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, Bob, it's the Titans that they're having good fortune with the weather because they played the Chiefs last year in December, and I think it was their coldest game they've ever played in. This year when they played Kansas City in the wild card round, I mean, close to 40 degrees is balmy, Kansas City in January. I was there. The station I was working at the time sent me up for an entire week up in your neck of the woods to cover the Patriots and the Titans in January of 04, and we stayed in Providence, and I remember it felt like it was negative 40 outside. It was like nothing could move outside, and that was the coldest game I've ever been a part of. Of course, I didn't play, and I wasn't out. I was inside at Gillette Stadium, but looks like, as you just mentioned, the weather conditions will be different.
Yeah, thankfully so. I mean, we got up to, I think, 24 a couple of days ago, and it felt like a heat wave. I got in my car on Sunday morning. It was minus 23 wind chill. So, we lucked out in that sense, although I guess there's a possibility of rain in the forecast. So, you know, we'll see what effect that has. But I have to think for the Titans, you know, they'll welcome inclement weather given their style of play, exotic smash mouth being what it is.
Is there any chance, Bob, you can tell us that Rob Gronkowski maybe got a hold of a bad batch of clam chowder last night or had some bad lobster or something, that he's just really under the weather and maybe he's a jeopardy for Saturday night? Any chance you could pass that along?
Well, I wouldn't be honest if I were to say that. I will say, though, however, that in 100% accuracy, that Gronk did deal with one of those 24-hour bouts and where you assume it was stomach virus a couple of weeks ago and had to miss a day of practice for the Patriots in preparation for the regular season finale. I think like just about every other corner of the NFL in the Patriots locker room, they've been dealing with the flu here and there, or those 24-hour outages, so to speak, for guys. But hopefully from a Patriots point of view, Gronk is ready to go, and he certainly seemed to be focused and able-bodied yesterday at the podium during his weekly press conference.
You're the perfect guy to ask because you're around this team and organization on a daily basis. And, you know, just when we were talking about leading up to the national championship game and really just the college football playoffs with Alabama, living here in the South and SEC country, certainly we follow all these teams. And talking about Alabama, I mean, Nick Saban, the greatness that he's able to pull off year in and year out, and he had them going into that Clemson game, you know, thinking they were the underdogs and nobody's picking us to win, which we laughed at. It's like, that's the silliest mentality, but the players actually believe that. They went into that game with a chip on their shoulder thinking nobody thinks we have a chance to win, which is absurd. How do the Patriots, how do they constantly stay motivated? Because the Patriots and Alabama are two football programs that have been winning at a high level for a long period of time. And you always wonder, where do they dig deep? Where do they find their ways to always try to stay atop the mountain?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's a question we're constantly discussing here in New England annually. Now, it's helped, of course, to have Tom Brady at quarterback with a coach as thorough, number one, as Bill Belichick, and number two, his mind for the game and grasp of details. You have an advantage, I think, on the sideline in terms of a team that's not going to make the mistakes. I was reading a biography about Chuck Nolan, and let me backtrack. And one of the things that he said when he took over the Steelers that resonated with me today because of my experience around Bill Belichick and an observation of the Patriots is that the first thing you have to do to win games is not lose them. And Belichick gets a great deal of credit, rightfully so, I think, for being, you know, a smarter football coach than a lot of people. But I think, you know, what that boils down to is that he pays attention to details. He knows history, history of his team, history of the game, history of the opposition. But also, he from day one, it's drilled into the players' minds and the way they go about their business. You know, the way to lose games is to beat yourself in the National Football League. And you look at this Patriots team, they're, as I said, you know, led by a great quarterback. You look at the rest of the roster, you don't have a lot of pieces individually that generally get a lot of acclaim, Gronkowski aside. But I think the thing is they're constantly turning the page. When they have success, they're moving on to the next goal, and they're not looking back and reflecting and celebrating the last goal. And I think that's a big key to their ability to move on from a championship last year and put themselves in position at 13-3, despite a number of injuries, especially of late on the offensive side of the ball after an early rash defensively this year, to be the number one seed and have the home field advantage as long as they remain in the playoffs to try to get back to the Super Bowl. They don't dwell on what's happened, and it's not just lip service. It's the way they go about their business. But I think, you know, more than anything, it manifests itself in just the daily approach. Belichick is a nose to the grindstone kind of coach. His players understand that. They go into that locker room. It's all business for the most part. They go to the meeting rooms same way. The players have. You know, from day one, they become Patriots, and understanding that this is what your expectations are every day, and we're never going to waver from that. Your college background doesn't matter, and you see that in the roster composition. You have guys who come in like Vanderbilt's Adam Butler, relatively unknown here, undrafted free agent, and he's playing significant reps defensively as a rookie alongside a guy who was a fourth-round pick in Dietrich Wise. They don't care where you were taken or what school you come from. It's about how you go about your business. And I think that's been a key to success for the Patriots that often is overlooked because people see and recognize the greatness of the quarterback and people like Gronkowski and also the reputation that Belichick has had as a so-called football genius. He's an incredibly bright guy, and I think the Patriots do have a decided advantage when you match up Belichick to just about any other head coach in the game today and probably in modern football history. But I think more than anything, it's having a simple, basic approach in that we're going to get to work today. This is what we're going to focus on, and we're not going to let anything else affect that focus.
Yeah, those are good points. And part of the reason for asking that is, you know, anytime we see a story like what came out recently with ESPN's Seth Wickersham, any other franchise you would go, uh-oh, boy, that's going to be a real distraction. You know, there's a lot of franchises and organizations or teams we would say, boy, I wonder if that's really going to affect them in the playoffs. But I don't really get the feeling anybody thought, if anything, it's almost just the opposite effect with the Patriots. At least I'll speak for myself and not for everybody. I'm thinking, oh, great, they just poked the bear. I mean, that to me, it's just the opposite of like, oh, yeah, I don't believe for a minute it's going to do just the opposite. It's going to motivate them even more.
And I think that's more or less conventional thought here for those of us who are on the team on an everyday basis. Now, there are concerns, and this is not to give credence to everything that Seth Wickersham reported in that story. I think there are morsels of truth, of tension here and there, and you know, some of the details I know have been disputed or refuted by people in and out of the Patriots organization. Others have been supported by people outside the organization. So, yeah, I don't want to disparage the report or the story, but I think the sense here is that, okay, you know, there's something that's going on. Again, this is the speculation locally in media circles, but it's really more relative to the long-term future, or at least beyond 2018. But in the short term, the expectations are the Patriots are going to do what they have traditionally done, and that's utilize their remarkable capacity to compartmentalize potential distractions. I took over as the radio play-by-play broadcaster for the Pats following the summer of 2013. Of course, that was in the aftermath of the Aaron Hernandez arrest and release by the team. And you think about something that was really unprecedented in at least to my recollection, you know, major sports circles, the Patriots were able to get past that. The Patriots have had any number of other potential enormous distractions that could have collapsed their so-called dynasty, like the Deflategate saga, which unfolded over really a two-season span going back to the AFC Championship game in 2014. And they go on and win over the Seahawks, and they come back and they have a very good year the next season, and then start last year with a quarterback suspended for four games, and they win their second Super Bowl championship in a three-year span. So I think they have traditionally done that. And then it goes back to, again, I think the previous question you asked me about Belichick, and that's the ability to put your blinders on. And you know, it's not lip service, especially when you hear it from the veterans like the Devin McCourties of the world and the Matthew Sletters of the world. When they talk about it with the Patriots, there's a 100% conviction in their voice, and you see it as well through their actions.
Bob Soucy is the fine Patriots play-by-play man joining us here on 3D. Bob, I'm curious, you look at some of the defensive numbers as a whole for the Patriots and say, well, maybe there's a weakness there. But it does look like since the first quarter of the season, they've made considerable improvements. So tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, the first quarter of the season was marked by uncharacteristic breakdowns in allowing big plays. And the Patriots have traditionally been, at least in my experience, and I think for the better part of the last 17 years, 18 years with Belichick as the head coach, a defense that might bend, but it's certainly not going to break. And last year, for example, it was a defense that, you know, was at the top of the leaderboard when it comes to scoring defense and didn't allow big plays. And then early this year, the Patriots got gashed. There were a lot of breakdowns, it appeared, in the secondary. It's Stephon Gilmore, who had come in as a splash free agent signing in the offseason, a lot of communication issues or issues as a result of a lack of communication back there, in concert with the front seven that took its lumps. They lost Dante Hightower, of course. They had a defensive front that lost people like Chris Long from last year. Rob Ninkovich retired. And not necessarily that those guys were stars at that stage of their career and in their roles for the Patriots a year ago. But nonetheless, there were significant pieces. And the Patriots were trying to reshape the front seven, a bit thin at a couple of positions. They had made a trade for Coney Ealy that didn't work out. He was expected to come in and give them, I think, a pass-rushing presence as well as somebody that could hold the edge, for example, up front defensively. And what they found is they were getting gashed around the edges. They were having trouble against the run on the perimeter, and they were giving up big plays because of those communication breakdowns on the back end. They've gotten much better at that. One thing they have been good at all season long is staying stout in the red zone. And I think it's an interesting matchup here in that you've got this quarterback like Mariota who comes in who generally has not made red zone mistakes, and you've got an offense that can run the ball extremely well. The Patriots are still allowing better than 4.5 yards per carry, even though they've gotten better. But nonetheless, there are some certain, I think, concerns that you know, bode well for Tennessee. Not to say that they're going to spell the Patriots' demise necessarily, but I think there are things that the Titans can hang their hat on in preparation for that for this game. And you know, one of them is the Patriots' run defense, and it's one of the reasons why I think James Harrison is here. It's not just to get after the quarterback. I think they felt a need. They had to have somebody who could be strong enough to help set the edge on the outside and not allow guys to get around the perimeter the way that in recent weeks Kenyon Drake of Miami had done, LaShawn McCoy of the Bills, Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers.
Bob, on the other side, the Patriots' run game oftentimes is underrated. It's efficient to go with the great passing game that they have. It looks like in a group of running backs, Deion Lewis has really risen up to be the top back. Tell us about the season he's had.
Yeah, Deion Lewis is a dazzling player, and he's gotten much better as the year's gone along. He was a revelation back in 2015, a guy that had bounced around a little bit, was injury-prone. He followed LaShawn McCoy at the University of Pittsburgh, came into the NFL after a couple of seasons with the Eagles. He went to Cleveland, broke his leg, more or less was out of football for the better part of a year and a half or so. And then it came into Patriots camp. Former Browns executive Mike Lombardi was then a coaching consultant to Belichick here in New England, and I think had some input and sway in the signing of Deion Lewis. And in 2015, he was terrific at the outset of the season. He was really an integral part of a strong start for the Pats as the defending Super Bowl champs. A guy kind of in the Kevin Falk mode, but I think in some ways, a little more dynamic, and got off to a tremendous start and then blew out his knee, tore his ACL midway through the season. And last year came back, but I think he was at less than full strength and certainly didn't have the burst that he had shown when healthy early the previous season. And now I think what's happened this year is they managed his workload. They lightened the burden from early this year. They've had a very deep backfield for much of the season until recent injuries. They had James White, of course, Super Bowl 51 standout, along with Rex Burkhead, who was acquired from Cincinnati and really was a terrific fit for the Pats when healthy thus far through the regular season. And then you have Lewis, as White experienced some issues and Burkhead had some injury problems, get a chance to carry the ball more in the run game, and he's a strong runner inside. He seems he's a short guy, but as he says, I may be small, but I'm not little. He's powerful. He's got great balance, a tremendous quickness, change of direction. In a lot of ways, he is kind of a Le'Veon Bell type or a LeSean McCoy type with that stop-start ability, good pass catcher, a guy who's very difficult to bring down inside because he's got tremendous lower body strength and a low center of gravity. He also gets hidden sometimes and fits through some small creases. And he's been a terrific player for this team. And I think along with Gronkowski, while Brady may win the MVP overall this year and is certainly a leading candidate toward that end, Deion Lewis and Rob Gronkowski in the second half of the season have probably been the Patriots' co-MVPs.
Bob, leave us with this. I know the bye week can really help the Patriots get back some of these role players. They sort of kill you with numbers. As you mentioned, they have so many different running backs that bring something different to the table. It looks like they might get healthy there. Who else do you think will benefit from this bye week?
Well, I think two guys you look to first and foremost offensively are James White and Chris Hogan. And reports are, according to a guy that I trust more than any other beat reporter here, Mike Reese, that Hogan is getting close and that James White has shown a lot of progress. And, you're right. I mean, they kill you with numbers and their ability to line up with certain personnel and then affect your defense and create a mismatch. And so they've got guys now like White and Lewis who almost seem interchangeable in some ways. And, you can line up and then flex those guys out, and all of a sudden you've created a mismatch against the linebacker. And they've done a terrific job of that under Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator of exploiting those particular matchups. And so, you have a team that is game plan specific and sometimes series to series, play to play, specific with that ability to morph for those guys. And they've been limited the last few weeks without a guy like Hogan in the lineup to complement Gronkowski. It's put more of an onus on Brad and Cooks, and the Patriots' offense has had to kind of reinvent itself in some ways. They haven't gotten the quick stuff underneath or the dig routes or the comebacks on the outside, and so Brady had to throw the ball further downfield, and it hasn't been a style that suited Cooks as well as earlier in the year when he was kind of a complimentary big play piece to the guys that were doing a lot of the damage underneath the defense, like James White out of the backfield or Burkhead out of the backfield or Chris Hogan. And then another guy who didn't practice yesterday that I think people still have their fingers crossed about is Malcolm Mitchell. A rookie out of Georgia last year, had an impact in the Super Bowl 51 comeback. Hasn't played all season long. The Patriots put him back on the practice field a couple of weeks ago in hopes that he could be activated for the postseason. Was going to go in the regular season finale after a week of practice. Didn't practice yesterday. We'll see what his status is these next couple of days. But, he's another guy that I think, any extra time improves the chances, not necessarily that it guarantees a return to the lineup for him. But the passing game has been a lot different. When you look at Brady's numbers the last few weeks, it's been affected by the absence of Julian Edelman from day one, but also because of his departure to injury, Chris Hogan and James White and Rex Burkhead.
Bob, really appreciate it. Thanks so much. I don't believe the Titans are going to let anybody know where they're staying this time. I stayed in the team hotel in 03. They don't want the alarms going off at 3 in the morning.
Well, guys, good to be with you. Looking forward to the game. And, it's amazing how deaf Patriots fans are at finding out the wherever the visiting team is going to stay.
That was a true story. I lived it. Bob, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Bob Soucy, he is the Patriots play-by-play man. Really good stuff there.
That was very informative. He had great detail in there.
We'll come back and talk a little bit more about what we just heard and wrap up the first hour. But first, I want to talk to you about weight loss management, an ever-increasing field that is full of empty promises, a bunch of yo-yo dieting, and dangerous diet supplements. Probably we've all flirted with all the above, or at least thought about it. At Cool Springs MD, provide a safe and effective weight loss management solution with the support of Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife, Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse. They have been helping Middle Tennessee become healthier for over 20 years. Every individual is different, and the professional staff at Cool Springs MD, they are passionate about giving each one of you the one-on-one attention that you deserve. Take a tour of the facility. It's a state-of-the-art facility, and meet with their on-site trainers and counselors. Learn more about weight loss management. Find out about your options and how to achieve a healthy lifestyle by calling Cool Springs MD today for an appointment at 615-660-6900. That's 660-6900. Or visit their website to find out everything about them, coolspringsmd.com.